Welcome to the Surviving Grief Podcast, hosted by our grief ministry leaders at Crossroads Church. We'll be sitting down with friends as they share their powerful stories of loss and healing, and we'll hear from grief professionals and other wise people with useful tools for our own time of grief. If you're supporting someone who's grieving, you'll learn how to comfort them and walk with them on their own path to healing. Let's join the conversation.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Surviving Grief. My name is Megs Galfgott, and today we have a special guest. We have Miss Katie. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Megs. How are you?
I'm good. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
Yeah. So tell us what brings you here today, Katie.
So I am here because I lost my father in 2016 to esophageal cancer. I come from a family of six. I'm one of four. I'm third in my family. Two amazing parents. They had a wonderful marriage. So I grew up in a wonderful family. I was a daddy's girl. We had a super special relationship. When my dad entered any room, my heart felt protected, loved, and seen. He was my biggest fan, my loudest cheerleader at any of my sporting events throughout my years as an athlete. He was my homework tutor when I didn't understand the lessons being taught. He was my baking buddy. He was my absolute favorite person to hug on this earth. And he was one of the kindest, wisest, and most humble souls that I have ever met. He was my person, and he also gave me the nickname Buggy at the age of two and called me Bug until the day he died. We were raised Catholic, regulars in the third pew on Sunday mornings, so I'm very grateful for the strong foundation in my faith that my parents provided in growing up. That continued all the way through college, I would say. I went to a Catholic college. I still continued going to Mass in college. I would say my relationship with the Lord still felt strong at that time. After college, I moved away for a few years. I taught kindergarten for a couple years in a suburb of Atlanta. I found a church there. I would say I was an intermittent churchgoer at that time. And then I moved to South Korea for a year where I taught English. And at that point, looking back, can now see how my relationship from the Lord kind of deviated a little bit. I didn't attend church. I would call myself the holiday Catholic, if you will, at that point. My prayer life was intermittent. It wasn't regular. It wasn't consistent. I moved home, got married shortly after. And then my husband left 4 days later to go to military training. And so I lived with my parents for 6 months at that point. That was a huge gift to me. I didn't realize it at the time. You know, I kind of thought, oh my gosh, I'm married and now I'm living with my mom and dad. Like, this is crazy. But looking back, it was such a gift from the Lord to be able to spend that time with them because I had been gone since college. And just to watch their marriage and their intentionality towards each other was wonderful. When I lived with my parents, I didn't go to church. They went to a Catholic church still, and I just didn't feel like I got anything out of it. So again, you know, I'd pray here and there to God. I wasn't reading the Bible at that point. I didn't have a desire for it too at that point. After living with my parents for 6 months, I was able to meet back up again with my husband when he was finished with his military schooling, and he was assigned to Germany for his first duty station. Germany was wonderful. It was such an adventure. We were able to travel to so many amazing countries, and we actually had our first two babies while we were there during our three-year stay, but our relationship with the Lord was very stagnant. There was only one church on post, and unfortunately, it did not speak to either of our hearts, so we only went one time, and then both agreed that we would never go back. We were not surrounded by any type of Christian community while we were there. But like I said, it was an amazing adventure, and we are so grateful for it. Towards the end of my husband's three-year assignment in Germany, he talked about getting out of the army. I was very opposed. I actually kept pressing back to him on wanting to continue his career in the army. So hopefully we could get a sign at another dreaming location because Germany was just so wonderful. And I was hoping he would continue on, but he just had a very strong prompting that we were supposed to move home. Looking back, this was definitely the Lord's prompting for us to move home. And I just didn't realize it at the time. So we told my parents that he was getting out of the army officially, and they were over the moon because while we were there, we had only seen my parents and my family a couple times just during the holidays, when we would come home and visit, or when our first son was born, my parents came over and stayed with us for a few weeks. The rest of the time, they only knew my family on Skype. That was the main way that they had kept in contact with us and formed a relationship with my two little guys. So moving back, there was a lot of mixed emotion. I remember feeling sad that we were exiting the army because it was just such a wonderful community to be a part of. But at the same time, I had missed my family so dearly while living abroad. And we were excited to come home. We were excited to make all the memories, do all the things with family, and just be in the same town as them. So we moved back. We moved into my parents' house in October of 14, and life was picture perfect. My boys woke up every morning to Grandma and Opa, and just this vision of us moving home and them being loved endlessly by my mom and dad, it was just all of that was coming to fruition, and it was just a beautiful image to see. We would get together with my extended family for parties, and my parents hosted for the holidays. And so that time was really, really special. And looking back, it was also such a gift from God because I didn't know what was to come in the next few months. And so my husband and I, when we moved back, we quickly found our first home in Liberty Township. And so we had a move-in date of the end of January of 2015. So we knew it would be a few months living with my parents. And they were super supportive of that and just excited to have us home. So fast forward to January of 2015. We had so many exciting things coming up, and my heart was so content and so eager for what was to come. Little did I know that 2015 would absolutely rock my world. It would shatter my heart beyond what I could even imagine. So it was a couple weeks until we were supposed to move, and I found out that my husband had an addiction, and he had been hiding it from me since we had began dating. I was in shock. I felt like I was living in an out-of-body experience. My heart was racing. My mind was spiraling. I could not believe that this was happening to me. It felt like an absolute nightmare. That was a few weeks before we moved into our first house. And then there was another shock to my system. Maybe a week or two after we moved, I found out that I was very unexpectedly pregnant. And this was not planned. And I feel like between these two events, that's where the finger pointing at God started. God, why is this happening to me? Why did we have all of these great things in store for our family? And how on earth is this my story? I just remember having so much shame, and it set so heavy into my heart. And we didn't tell anyone. We told absolutely no one. So that spring, I feel like I was just trying to figure things out. I was trying to keep moving forward because at that time I was a stay-at-home mom to two toddlers. And I had another baby on the way. I didn't tell my parents, but we spent a lot of time with them. So even in their presence, I felt the comfort, even though I was silencing the pain of what was going on in my marriage. And then in July of 15, another huge wave that would alter my life forever came. I got a phone call from my dad and my mom, and they wanted me to come to their house. And I knew when they asked me to come over that no news that they could share was going to be good. So I packed up my two boys. My husband was actually in training for 2 weeks because he had joined the Army National Guard. So he was gone. And we drove to my parents' house. I got the two boys out of my van. I walked in, and my mom said she would keep the boys in the house, but my dad wanted to talk to me. So my dad took me outside, and he told me that he had been diagnosed with esophageal cancer. My world just, it felt absolutely shattered. I remember him just remaining so calm throughout the entire thing as he told me the news and let me process all my feelings. And he just stood there and he just embraced me and hugged me and just let me cry until I was ready to go back inside. So I felt like my heart at that point was no longer in pieces. I felt like it was absolutely shredded. My mom, dad, and my husband, the three most important people to me on this earth, were no longer my pillars of love, strength, and support. It actually felt like now they were just crumbled ruins. My dad was facing this huge health crisis. My mom was there to support him. She had no idea what was happening in my marriage, and I didn't want to run to my husband because I felt so betrayed by him. And so at that point, I felt like I had absolutely no one to lean on for support. I felt like I was absolutely drowning. And I just felt like I couldn't do this on my own anymore. So at that point, I feel like I was just so angry at God. How could you do this to me? How could you first shatter my heart in my marriage and then absolutely destroy my heart with my dad? I felt like I was drowning. I couldn't do this on my own. And this is when I noticed a shift in my prayer life to God, although I still remained angry at him and often pointed fingers as to why all these things were happening. My dad started treatments in August of 2015, and they continued well into the holidays. There was endless rounds of chemo and radiation. And then in January of 2015, he underwent a surgery where they removed his esophagus and they reconstructed it. During this time of his treatments and his surgery, I had reached out to our family and our community and began the process of asking for prayer requests. I also would send out emails with updates as to what was happening to my dad. We also made shirts for my dad just to rally around him and support, and people would wear them and send pictures just to say that they were praying for him and cheering him along. After his surgery in January of 16, he remained in the ICU for weeks. We didn't think at times that he would make it out, but after 4 weeks, he was able to come home. When he got home, the doctors said that they couldn't do any more treatments at the time because his body was so frail. So they just sent him home and they said all he could do is rest. And I remember at that point during my dad's battle, I felt so defeated because I knew that his cancer was so aggressive and I was just so fearful of what was to come. During that time, we did find out that they had taken lymph nodes out and they did come back positive. So we were all devastated. But I just remember continuing to pray and continuing to have hope because I know the power of our God and I know how much he can heal people. So we just kept praying at that point for a miracle in my dad. I remember I would pray in the morning. I would pray at lunchtime with my boys. I would pray when I was taking my little guys on walks when it was nice outside. I would pray at night when I was running to de-stress. It was just my prayer life to God was nonstop, but it was all focused on my dad and prayers and healing for him. That was during the spring. And then in the summer, it was around July timeframe of 16, my dad began having really bad headaches. The headaches were so severe that any type of medicine he would take wouldn't even touch it. So my mom started bringing my dad in to have scans, and they couldn't find anything, absolutely nothing. They went in for scan after scan, and they said, yeah, we're not finding anything. We're not really sure what's going on. And so at one point, this would have been the very beginning of August, they actually told my parents that my dad was cancer-free. My family was swimming at the Y, and we were walking to our van that day. And I remember getting a phone call from my mom and dad. And the joy I heard on the other line just sent me to a mountaintop. They said, Katie, we have great news for you. We just got results from the scans. And the doctor said that your dad's cancer-free. And I just remember feeling like, oh my gosh, the prayers worked. Like, this is unbelievable. This is a miracle. And so we went to the store. We packed up the boys and went to the store and got Oreos because that was the only thing my dad could eat at that point in his journey because of all of the radiation that had taken place in his esophagus. And so we went over to their house with Oreos to celebrate, and my dad wore his shirt and was just so, the joy in his eyes, it's just a vivid image. And we just celebrated that he was cancer-free. And then 2 weeks later, it was like I went from that mountaintop to the lowest of the valleys. I was playing in the basement with our boys, and my phone was upstairs. So I came up, called my sister back, because she was the most recent phone call. And the panic in her voice sent my heart straight into despair. She could hardly talk. She was crying uncontrollably on the phone, and she said that mom and dad wanted us to come over immediately because they needed to talk to us. And at that point, my mind just flooded with all the things. What's going on? I thought he's cancer-free. Why did they want us to come over? So I got into my car. And when I got into my car, I did not pray at all. Instead, I screamed at God the loudest I think I ever have. And nothing that came out of my mouth was in gratitude or praise. Everything that I said to God was just completely awful. I was so unbelievably angry. I couldn't fathom what was to come. And tears flooded my eyes and my face, and they dropped into my lap. I felt like my world was just crushing beneath me. So I arrived to my parents. My sister and my brother were already there. I have another brother who is out of state. So I took a deep breath and I walked into my parents' house. When I walked in, I still remember walking into their kitchen, and they all stood there like they were waiting for me to arrive. Their eyes were completely bloodshot and their faces were so somber. And I just remember thinking, wow, this is going to be awful. So I looked at my mom and dad, and I just waited for them to share what they needed to share. My dad looked at me, and he had told me that the cancer had spread to his brain and that there was nothing the doctors could do. It had surrounded his entire brain. And with a recent scan, they had found this. Some of my feelings I felt during this time were devastation, shock, brokenness, numbness. All of those feelings came over me like an absolute flood. My mom and dad both came in. They hugged me once again while I sobbed in their arms. And I remember thinking, how on earth could this be? My dad just had scan after scan after scan, and they told him he was cancer-free. And just a few days later, one more scan, and now he's labeled as terminally ill. So we spent the whole day together, our family. My parents had already called my oldest brother, who's out of town, to share the news. And we just spent time in community with one another just to be together in each other's presence. My dad called his siblings, and my mom called her siblings to relay the news. But we just soaked up that time together. And I had already been over at my parents' house or with my parents a great amount since we had moved home. But then I felt like it was amplified even more after finding out about my dad's diagnosis. And now I felt like it just amplified to the next level. So any free time I had from that point on, I was with my mom and dad. I wanted to just soak up all of those last weeks I could with him. My mom appreciated our support more than she could say. But the last couple of months that we had together as a family are treasure gifts for sure for all of us now as we look back. As I think about this time frame with God already clearly, I was angry with him, and I could not believe that this was our family's current situation. I felt like at this point in my life, God was so unbelievably distant. We had been praying for a miracle. We had been praying for healing in my dad. And I just felt like I couldn't see God at all in this story. So let me backtrack just a tiny bit. After the first fall of 2015 with my husband and I, we knew something had to change. And so my husband and I decided that that spring we would start trying out different churches because we knew we needed to be somewhere. We knew we needed a community to support us, and we knew we just needed to get back into the regular rhythms of what we had grown up with. So I grew up Catholic and my husband grew up Lutheran, and we started church hopping all over the Liberty Township Mason area. And something that I would like, my husband wouldn't, and something that he felt like was okay or, you know, decent, I would say absolutely not. And so we had been church hopping at that point for, I would say, almost a year and a half. And there was absolutely nothing that felt like home to us. So my little guys started preschool a couple weeks after we found out that my dad was terminally ill. And we went to the Meet the Teacher night. So while we were there, I met a new mom and we just hit it off right away. We had a very strong connection and conversation was super easy. So about a week or two later, we were in the parking lot talking, and she invited us to Crossroads. And when she invited us, I remember kind of laughing to myself, thinking, like, there's absolutely no way I'm going to this place. My sister had attended Oakley when we lived in Germany. And when we would come home to visit, she would ask if we wanted to go with her. And growing up Catholic, I politely declined, but I thought in my head, like, Crossroads is absolutely whack. Who drinks coffee in the dark and listens to a rock concert while at church? Like, the idea just was so mind-boggling to me. But out of desperation, we said yes. And I remember driving to church that first Sunday, and my dad, as you know, was labeled terminally ill at this point. And so I remember telling my husband on the way there, I just want to tell you that I know this is our first time going to Crossroads, but I also want to tell you I'm pretty sure it's going to be our last. And he just looked at me and smiled and said, okay. And that was it. So we walk in and we drop off our three babies who were very unsure about this whole situation to Kids Club. And then we walk into the auditorium. It was the first service of a series, and as soon as the worship music started, my eyes flooded with tears. And I don't think I've ever sang louder in a worship service, and I sang every word on that screen. And I was also never so appreciative to be in a dark room, because I think I cried through the entire service. And what was even wilder was that the title of that service was called Feeling God's Presence. And that's exactly what I just told my husband a couple weeks ago that I didn't feel. And so that was the first time that I saw God's fingerprints in the story. And I remember feeling like God was breathing life back into me, and he was reminding me of the promises that he gives. And I left that day having hope for the first time in a very long time. And it wasn't hope that my dad would live, but it was hope in God's promises to us and that he's faithful. That series was 6 weeks long, and my dad passed on the last weekend of that series. He died on a Saturday around noon, and our whole family attended the next day. And that title of the series was called Healing, which I also found incredibly ironic. Again, another fingerprint from God saying that he saw our family and he would be with us to help restore our shattered hearts. So after service, Tim Senef, the pastor, circled up. He prayed with our entire family, and he cried while he prayed over our family. And that touched my heart so deeply. So I felt like at that point I was finally beginning to see God's fingerprints. The week of my dad's funeral, was busy getting everything ready, so I felt like grief took a back seat. Looking back, I realized we are definitely in a state of shock. However, the visitation was a gift to our family. We were all together, and the line of people did not stop. The stories of my dad that people shared with us brought such joy to my heart, but that joy quickly turned to extreme sorrow and realization the next day on the way to the funeral. I thought that driving to the funeral, I might have a panic attack. I couldn't breathe. I could not stop crying. I remember thinking that day as we were pulling into the parking lot, I am about to bury my dad and never see his face again on this earth. And that hit me like a ton of bricks, and my heart never felt so heavy. Also, the days that followed the funeral only seemed to amplify my feelings of grief. All the grieving that I had done while watching my dad dwindle in health was just a glimpse of the heartache and despair and anguish that I felt in the early days of grief. So some of the feelings that I had in my early days of grief were emptiness, brokenness, I felt numb, I felt irritable, I was super forgetful. I was also jealous of all my friends and their relationships with their dad and all the places I would see their dads supporting them. I was absolutely exhausted. I was overwhelmed. I was detached from my kids at times. I felt lonely and isolated, and I was still really, really angry with God. But God did not stop pursuing us, and he continued to pour blessing upon blessing over us, and he continued to provide opportunity after opportunity for us in the midst of the chaos. So some of the things that he did, he gifted me a job during my early days of grief, which was so wonderful because he knew that serving others would breathe life into me. And he also knew that I desperately needed time as a stay-at-home mom. I didn't have much free time. And so that drive back and forth to that job was such a gift to me. I could sit there. I could turn on worship music. In fact, I intentionally played songs on the car ride there and back that I didn't like because the words stung my heart so deeply. My brain was in alignment that God was good, that he never failed us, that he's faithful. But my heart didn't feel it at that time. So some of the songs that I would listen to on the way there, there was actually one that I listened to on repeat for months, over and over and over. And I remember thinking when I would listen to it sometimes, man, I just wish I had like a Sharpie and I could just take it and I could just start crossing out all these words because my heart did not feel at all that he was good and that he wouldn't fail me. It stung so bad, but I just kept listening to it and I kept singing it over and over. So on the way here, I was listening to worship music and I was just in the presence of the Lord. And one of my absolute favorite songs is Firm Foundation by Cody Carnes. And I was singing it out loud. And then I just felt a deep wave of gratitude roll over me. And tears actually start streaming down my face. And as I was realizing that the tears were streaming down my face, it took me back to the early days of my grief when that's all I would do was cry because I was so angry at God. And my heart didn't align with the fact that he won't fail me. But as I was processing the song Firm Foundation, I realized that I had cried at the same exact point in his line where he said he won't fail. And that moment was such a full circle for me. And it was so enlightening to see where God has taken me and where he has led me from feeling so much anger and now so much gratitude. And so that job was such a gift to me. It let me process my grief with him, and it let me just have that time to just sit there and feel it. He also allowed us to start having community. So we moved home. We didn't have a lot of friends at that point because we'd only been home for a year and our kids weren't in school yet. And so friendships started forming from mom's groups. My husband started to join some men's groups, and so he was surrounded by men with strong faith. My mom, my sister, and I all attended grief group that spring, which was about 7 months after my dad died. And grief group was so transformative to me. It was a place where I felt safe to process all my feelings. It was a place where I felt like all of my feelings that I was feeling were normal. And that was a gift to me in itself, because grief made me feel so abnormal. And I remember thinking, gosh, why do I feel this way? Because it was, I had never felt that way in my entire life. And when I went there and I heard that people in the circle around me were feeling the same way I was, it was just freedom to my heart. My table leader was also a daddy's girl, and I felt like that was a gift from the Lord, just that I could identify with her and that she was so joyful, and that was hopeful for me because I saw her on the other side of all of the heavy lifting of grief that she had walked through. And so she was just my ray of hope and my ray of sunshine each week. And I remember after the third or fourth week, looking forward to coming back week after week, because it became my place where I could just be free in how I was feeling, and I could express, you know, exactly what was going on in my life, and there was no judgment. So I feel like between all of these groups and us attending week after week, our dried souls were becoming watered. And we were seeing story after story of hearing about loss, hearing about betrayal, hearing about heartache, hearing about a crisis in someone's life. And then we were seeing all the ways that God was moving through those people's lives and how their lives were being transformed. And I remember thinking, okay, Katie, just keep moving. Just keep going to God. Just keep taking step by step in your grief and all the other things in your life that's happening, and God will continue to move in your life. And he most certainly did. He kept telling me, Katie, I just want a relationship with you. I don't want you to stiff arm me. I want to be there with you in this valley, and I want to walk with you in this pain and sorrow. He didn't want me to turn away and walk away from him, and I knew that. And he also kept telling me, Katie, not a single tear will be wasted. He let me express anger. He let me express jealousy. He let me express sadness. He let me ask him all the why questions. That was a huge part of my grief in the early days. Why my dad? Why now? Why does he have to leave my mom? God used our brokenness to bring us back into relationship with him. It was at Crossroads is where we learned how to have an intimate relationship with him. He gave us community when we so desperately needed it, since we had moved home a year prior and didn't know anyone besides family. He also allowed my husband's heart to heal, as well as he grew in community with other men in small groups. And it's been really beautiful to see how he has transformed my husband over the years as he's walked in relationship with him. My husband has attended veteran camp a couple years now, and the first he attended, he was baptized. And it was just a beautiful moment in seeing my husband surrendering to the Lord, and to be able to have our kids witness that and see their dad's obedience was just something I will always remember. So a couple years after I went through grief group, I felt like the Lord began to prompt me. And I felt like it just kept coming up. Katie, you should go help serve on the grief team. And so I reached out to Karen, who was the leader at Mason at the time. And I just said, hey, do you need any help with grief group? I think I would love to come back and help serve on the team. And so she said, yeah, absolutely, we would love to have you. So that was the fall of 2019. And I start serving with her. And it absolutely filled my heart. It was so beautiful to see how God was moving in that room every single session. And it was beautiful to see God soften hearts. And it was beautiful to see how God could take someone's story and bring beauty from ashes. And so I just continued on. And I absolutely love being on grief team. All the leaders at Mason are terrific, and it's so wonderful to see how each of their stories are so different, but at the same time, how God has moved in their story and how he has taken such ruins and turned into something so beautiful. I think that's one of my favorite parts is to see how heavy grief starts each session. And by the end, just the transformation in so many participants.
So, Katie, from a leadership standpoint, you know, not only meeting people in their darkest, most painful chapters, but for you, how has that continued to evolve your healing?
I think it's allowed me to just keep my dad's legacy alive, and it's allowed me to continue doing the grief work. We know that grief never ends. It just changes. And so every time I am talking about my dad, I'm doing grief work. Every time I'm listening to someone, I'm also reflecting on my own journey. And that is grief work. And so it's been beautiful to see as I've evolved and I've looked back on my journey is just illuminated with God's fingerprints. And I feel like as time goes on, I feel like it's like glow in the dark. Like they just keep popping up and I'll say, oh, wow, I remember at this point where I could see like two or three. And now I look back a couple years later and there was really like 50. And I just didn't realize it at the time. So I think for me as a leader and as I grow in my faith, that has been the most beautiful thing to witness is just how God was there all along and how he was walking it right beside me. And there were certain points in my grief where I was so blinded by my grief and I was so blinded by all of those raw, heavy feelings that I couldn't feel necessarily God's presence or how powerful it really was at that moment. And now to walk people through that and to encourage them and to encourage them to seek the Lord and sit in his presence and give all their feelings to God, and he can do abundantly more than they can ever ask or imagine. It's beautiful.
Katie, you have a lot of experience with, I would almost call it a righteous anger at times around the fact that, you know, your dad was having these headaches and he got the scans and, you know, in other times they said he was cancer free. And so that residual anger of, you know, call it malpractice or they just missed it or, you know, things happen. There's a lot of people who can resonate with that from a medical standpoint. Somebody missed something and we either missed our opportunity for treatment or what have you. What did that anger specifically in that situation, how did that manifest for you after your dad had passed?
I was a toddler. I was the toddler throwing the tantrum. I was the toddler screaming at God for something that I longed and I yearned for. I was stomping my feet. I was kicking. I was screaming. But I do realize now that I was also bringing it to God. I wasn't just stuffing those feelings and just saying, forget you. Like, I literally handed him all of that. And he can handle it. He wanted me to bring it to him, even though sometimes I didn't do it in the right way, and I repented for that. But I was giving him all of that heaviness and all of that sorrow and all of the feelings of just wanting my dad back, and he brought healing to it. And so it's so incredible to see that I was doing all of those things. It's just like a parent in real life. You see toddlers sometimes out and they're kicking and they're screaming and they're stomping because they want something that they can't have. And their parent is right next to them and they're staying calm. They're not walking away. They're just staying there and they're waiting for their child to calm down. And that's what God did for me in that space. He stood there right next to me. He didn't move. He didn't budge. He kept loving on me. He kept pursuing me. He kept placing one opportunity in front of the other to soften my heart and just to reassure me that he was there and he was going to love me through it.
Mm-hmm. Your loss story is also one of healing and not always in the ways that you prayed for. And so many healing elements from your marriage to your faith to your other relationships. When you look back now, how many years out are you?
Almost nine.
9 years. So in the past 9 years, you know, you shared about some of the redemptive nature of the healing itself. When you look at the fabric of your family now and what you went through in those early years, kind of when you're pregnant with your third, to how you have endured things, what does that how do you encourage someone who does have those layered losses right now that they're navigating, where it's not only a diagnosis or a sudden loss of someone close to them, but they have these other, whether it's a betrayal, whether it's just other hardships that are making the grieving process even tougher? How would you encourage that person to navigate that?
Don't give up. I would say just keep coming to the Lord. He continues to pursue me, and he will continue until the day I die. First, it was my grief, and God knows every one of us specifically. He knows how we're wired. He knows what's going to bring us life. He knows what's going to bring us healing, and he knew exactly what I needed. He knew exactly what my husband needed, and he handed it to us on a silver platter, because at that point, we were so blinded that we needed it that obvious. And so first it was my grief, and he let me unpack my grief, and he let me go through healing with my dad. And then it was my marriage. And unfortunately, it took way longer because I was dragging my feet and I didn't want to surrender it to him. And so it wasn't until very recently that he healed me of unforgiveness and bitterness. And then he said, Katie, it's time to share your entire story. It's not just the loss of your dad, but there was a lot that happened in that time frame, and I want you to share all of it. And so I said, okay, I'm going to take this step in obedience, and I am going to let other people know that God will not give up on you, and he will keep healing you layer by layer like an onion. Like, he peeled back my layer of grief, and then he said, all right, now we're going to peel back this, and now we're going to peel back this. And he will continue to pursue you in his timing, and he will keep his promises to you.
Mm-hmm. That's great, Katie. So one question that we always ask everybody is kind of retrospectively, what does good grief look like to you now?
Good grief looks like to me now a space of deep gratitude for my dad and for the gift that he was to me. It also means that grief attacks still come, and I can cry, but at the same time, I can process it with God, and I can remember what a gift my dad was, and just look back on all the wonderful memories we had together and smile and feel contentment in my heart.
That's great. Katie, thank you so much for sharing about you and your family and your dad today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Surviving Grief is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. If you'd like to connect or share your own story, reach out to us at podcasts@crossroads.net. That's podcasts with an S at crossroads.net. We'll see you next time.